Hello, everybody, and welcome to episode 139 of the Ron and Brian podcast. I am Ron, as always, joined by the man who is my personal firework, Brian. Brian, how the hell are you tonight, my friend?
I'm excited. Excited. I feel like the last 138 episodes that we did represent a dark era in this country's history. I believe that with episode 139, we are turning over a new leaf. I'm feeling optimism. Ooh. I feel like we are now, we are part of a global community. We're not just doing our own show, whether it be YouTube, Facebook, Twitch, live stream, audio available, just wherever. But I feel this is where we are finally going to grab the voice that we've always wanted and suddenly be for the people.
There you go. And it's a new day in America. And I feel with the returning confidence in the country, confidence in the economy, there is no better time than now than to go sign up for the Ron and Brian Patreon, which you can do at ronandbrianpodcast.com, upper right-hand corner of the home screen. Click on Become a Patron, and that will give you access to Ron and Brian After Dark, which we record right after this episode at 9:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. But in the meantime, we've got some work to do right here.
Drink of the week.
На здоровье.
Salud.
Drink of the week.
All right, Brian, what are you drinking? You're saying it's a new day. Is there a new drink that you're bringing to the show tonight?
What I've got here for you is a very special. This is from 18th Ward Brewing. This is Modzilla's Delight Sour IPA. Would you like me to describe it, Ron?
Describe it in the way that only you can.
I would say that Modzilla's Delight is a sour IPA brewed with German Pilsner malt and Strata, Mosaic, and El Dorado hops. Then it's conditioned on heaps of pink guava. It's a light and chewy malt body alongside a pleasant tartness and a touch of honey complements a massive punch of stone and tropical fruit flavors with an aroma to match. Kind of like the harmony between turtlenecks and blazers, with bob haircuts and striped skirts. Coming in at an ABV of 6.0, this 16-ounce can is soon going to be emptied into my belly.
All right, give it a taste. Let me know what you think of it. A sour IPA sounds interesting.
I like it.
You like it, all right.
It's not over-the-top sour as I tend to enjoy. You know what? It just dawned upon me. If you combined a sour with an IPA, that's how I would describe this beer.
All right. You nailed it pretty much. All right. I dug into that Tavor box that we got so long ago and dug out I don't know if I've drank this on the air before. I have had this. This is White Elm Brewing Company out of Lincoln, Nebraska. This is their Fluffaluffagus. It is an Imperial Marshmallow Stout. Made with natural and artificial flavors, it is clocking in at a very solid 12%. So it's going to be a fun night here in my house. Take a look at that color, that sheen. Let me take a sip here.
Ron, if you're drinking a 12% beer, that can only mean one thing, and that is you're going to let me finger your butthole during After Dark later tonight, because we know that you get saucy during After Dark when you've been hitting the sauce.
I do get.
Tell me about that White Elm.
It definitely packs a punch. You can taste the alcohol. You can taste some of the chocolate flavor, a little bit of the marshmallow. I could use a little bit more marshmallow. And that, if you're going to say it's a marshmallow stout, give me the marshmallow.
Now, is there any lactose in there? Because we know that you like.
No lactose. I know that's disappointing to you.
I'm a little disappointed. I know you love your lactose beer.
Yes, I with a passion. And I am, as some have mentioned, I am back in home base again, not on the road, not in a hotel room. I feel comfortable. I feel warm. In fact, you can probably hear my heater running. I should probably kick that off there. And definitely not the echo. I was listening back to the show last week, and that hotel room definitely had an echo to it.
Speaking of the hotel room, you mentioned in the early on the episode last week, you said that some of your coworkers were downstairs watching the show. I was wondering if you had received any feedback on how amazing our show is.
I feel they didn't pay attention to it as closely as they should. But there, one of them, a couple of them listened to us weekly. So they have yet to purchase merchandise, which I will have to have a conversation with them the next time I see that. But it is good to have the loyal listeners.
Why have they not joined our Patreon? Are they here only for the free entertainment?
It's possible, you know. And again, I don't want to feel that like they're pressured into spending money on the podcast. But these things get noticed.
Can we pressure in a world where you're? In a world where your VP of sales is pressuring you to buy his merchandise from his podcast.
I mean, what kind of VP of sales am I if I can't even sell a zip-up hoodie or a onesie?
You are the world's best VP of sales in the hospitality industry.
You're too good to me. Way too good to me. In the meantime, let's get things rolling here with what else we got coming up, Brian? Oh, we've got This Week in Racism.
This Week in
Racism.
Somewhat of a light week, but still three horrible stories this week in racism. Starting in Denton County, Texas, a black woman has had to leave her home after facing racial harassment from a white man in her neighborhood. Stacy Livingston told a local news station about a white neighbor who is known to have mental health issues that has been shouting racial slurs at her home. Neighbors captured video of the man shouting things like, quote, "That's my N-word," and, quote, "I'm going to kill me an N-word and make her into dog food." Her home has also been vandalized with phrases like "scary N-word" spray painted on her sidewalk. Livingston has notified the police multiple times. The last time the Denton County Sheriff's Office showed up, rather than do anything about it, they recommended she leave her home and stay in a hotel for a few days. Apparently, even after she left and stayed in the hotel, neighbors reported that the man continued to come to her house and yell racial slurs at it. After this story went viral, police finally arrested the neighbor on Tuesday evening. The Denton County Sheriff's Office also made news back in July 2020 when they refused to enforce Governor Greg Abbott's statewide mask order. So they seem to do a lot to do nothing. And we reached out to them for comment. They did not get back to us. The bastards. Let's see. This is a good one. In Decatur, Georgia, a white woman in Georgia has filed a lawsuit against the city schools of Decatur alleging discrimination and retaliation after she defended a video of her son using racial slurs. Cheryl Namias previously worked at Decatur High School as the school's international baccalaureate coordinator and instructional coach. Last May, after a video went public of her son wielding a toy gun, using racial slurs, and talking about killing black people, Namias was placed on leave for defending her son's actions. After the superintendent of schools confirmed that the then 14-year-old was a student at Decatur High School, there was a lot of people in the community demanding that the student be expelled. In response, she issued a statement saying her son was, quote, "not making a threat, but was inexcusably trying to parody people who make such threats." Namias was eventually placed on special assignment at the district's central office and is suing to get her administrative position back.
Garbage.
Yes.
Garbage people.
And we have yet again another unarmed black man killed by police, this time in Killeen, Texas. An unarmed black man was fatally shot by a police officer responding to a call for a mental health check. Patrick Warren Sr., age 52, was shot on Sunday night by Officer Reynaldo Contreras, a 5-year veteran of the Killeen Police Department. a Bell County mental health officer had responded to the home the day before and had taken Warren to the hospital. Warren returned home the next day, but his psychiatric issues continued. That mental health officer, unfortunately, was not available on that next night, so police arrived. Contreras was at the home for less than 5 minutes before shooting and killing Warren.
Fucking hell. They don't... I don't know. Okay.
It's a very sad story.
It's... How many, Ron?
I mean, it's
no, I mean, like, crazy. How many stories do we have this week?
Oh, that was it.
Oh.
Yeah, that was it. I usually save the worst for last, and usually unarmed men getting killed, typically the worst one of the week.
I would agree with that. It's no. Normally we spend about, you know, 5 to 8 minutes on racism. So was it the fact that the nation's attention, instead of being focused on their neighbors, was on Washington?
I think with the news cycle, with President Trump leaving office, his pardons, the inauguration, the welcoming Celebrating America concert, all that just pushed a lot of this racism out of the headlines. But I'm sure, if nothing else, it will be back again in force next week.
All right. Let's hope that that is that moving forward, we have no more than 3 instances of racism in the entire country for us to talk about each week moving forward. Let's hope that we can put a cap on it.
Let's hope. And as Billy rightfully points out, I had said there were 3 stories. Brian's not paying attention. But to be fair, Brian not paying attention is a theme of the podcast over the last 139 episodes.
Fair.
Shots fired.
That's all fair. Right. No. That's fair.
It's time for Beef of the Week.
Ron and Brian's Beef of the Week.
All right, Brian, what is bothering you this week?
I discovered something this week that I was unaware of in the 48 years of my life. My Beef of the Week this week, Ron, are the Jews.
I thought you were aware of the Jews prior to this.
Did you realize, Ron, that the Jews control the banking sector?
I mean, I've heard rumors. I've never seen it personally, but if you go online, that is what is said.
I'm kidding you, Ron. The Jews aren't really bothering me this week, though I did see a story as a Beef of the Week rewind that there was a Orthodox Jewish wedding in Brooklyn this past week. It looked like about 10,000 people maskless. My previous Beef of the Week was the Orthodox Jews. But you know what? We're not talking about that.
I saw that story and I said, Brian right now is outraged.
I read it. But you know what? I'm done with them.
Okay.
So it's not the Jews. The Jews I have no issue with this week. They're A-OK. Chef kiss. My issue this week is Taproom, T-A-P-R-M, who, as loyal listeners of the show are
of note in New York City,
they saved me during this pandemic.
Yeah.
You know, they were a little late. I still got the Rona, but they were able to bring me craft beer that I did not have access to in my local neighborhood. And they did this multiple times. And one of the features of the website that really endeared me to them, a local company, they're located right in Brooklyn. And their policy was that if you ordered by 2:00, they would be able to deliver to your door between 6 and 10 p.m.
And sometimes they cut it close, like it'd be 9:59 and you were getting that delivery.
There were times where it was 10:30 and I was literally in bed on my phone doing stuff we won't talk about.
Please.
Unnecessary to the story.
Sure.
And I would get a text from the delivery guy saying, hey, you know, I'm on my way to your home now. This week I placed an order because I was running a little low. I know the last couple of weeks I had been drinking some scotches, some fine single malts.
Yeah.
I said, you know what? I want to bring it back to the beer. Let's go back to the beer. I placed an order, and it wasn't until about, I would say, 5 o'clock that afternoon that I got a link in my email from Taproom letting me know that a package was being shipped via UPS.
So not
a second day delivery.
Second day delivery.
Now keep in mind, there is tape all over the box that says cold beer. There's no dry ice.
Nope.
There's no semi-wet ice in the bag. There's no bags of hard ice, cold ice. Literally room temperature beer is what was delivered to me 2 days later. Now, am I to believe that they shipped cold beer that now has returned to room temperature beer that I now have to put into my beer fridge, which is just a mere few feet away?
But it's not optimal for it to be cold and get room temperature and then chill again.
Are they lying? Yeah. Are they lying on the packaging saying cold beer is in the box, but they're shipping out warm beer? Either way, I feel like their terms and conditions have changed. I was not properly notified, and my beef is Taproom.
All right. Fair enough. So my beef this week is with the state of Pennsylvania and the COVID vaccine distribution. So I would like to preface this by saying that I understand that a lot of the vaccine issues are starting on the federal level. As we saw in the news today, apparently there was really no coordinated effort to get the vaccines out to the states. But my issue with the state of Pennsylvania is, you know, clearly they have been aware over the last month or so that there has been distribution issues with the vaccine. And so they had broken the first phase into three phases, A, B, and C. Obviously, 1A initially was your first responders.
Choose, right?
Not exactly. And so initially, I could have potentially been in phase 1B because I'm a fat guy. And that is apparently, if you're 16 to 64 with pre-existing conditions, one of them being a high BMI, you can get the vaccine in 1B.
Ron, you're not heavy. You're big boned.
A couple of weeks ago, they sent out a revised list of the phases and said, all right, you folks 16 to 64 with pre-existing conditions that were in 1B, we're now going to move you to 1C. And in phase 1B, we're now going to do, you know, people in assisted living. We're going to do, you know, frontline workers, grocery store employees. And I was like, great. Makes sense to me. Why the hell not? And again, knowing that they were having issues with the vaccine. So then earlier this week, they came out yet again and said, you know what? We're going to move all of you back into phase 1A so that you can now qualify for the vaccine. But here's the thing. No one has the vaccine. And even the places on the Department of Health website that they say, call here, they have the vaccine. You call and they're like, we don't have the vaccine. We keep telling the state we don't have the vaccine. We're not sure why they're giving you this information. So point being is it made sense for them to move us in a later phase, knowing they didn't have the vaccine in stock. But again, still don't have the vaccine in stock. They make the announcement for everybody to now you can get it. And now everyone's going crazy because they can't get the vaccine. Just seems like a very piss poor way to handle things.
I will say that what your issue, you're not alone. There are plenty of Americans that feel your pain. And I want you to know it's not just limited to Pennsylvania. Earlier this week, I was able to score my 88-year-old father an appointment to get his first of the two Moderna vaccine shots. Was notified by Rite Aid, the local pharmacy, that they were not getting their shipment in, and they just simply canceled.
Yes.
And if you go onto the New York City website or the New York State website, none of the locations where they have identified as vaccination sites, none of them are taking appointments right now.
Well, and they said on the news today that apparently New York City had to cancel 23,000 appointments today because they're going to run out of vaccine tomorrow. And there's again, no time frame as to when places are going to get the vaccine. They did say on the news at the current rate of vaccination, it will take over a year to get 75% of the population properly vaccinated.
I get it. It's I think the issue here is lack of quantity. They do not have the quantity of vaccines. I'm very glad that the Trump administration told Pfizer that we did not want to order the additional 10 million doses. However, as you just said, in the grand scheme of things, an additional 10 million doses really would not make a dramatic change to the country.
But President Biden still says that he wants to be on track to get 100 million doses in his first 100 days. So hopefully he is able to do so.
Right.
I don't think he will be because we're, you know, as always, we are seeing more and more COVID stories popping up in the news. One of the scariest ones that we saw says that this is a study in the UK, that 1 in 8 recovered COVID patients die from illness complications within 5 months. You're still standing. I would just like to point out that Brian, as we have stated before, might be a superhero. But yes, this UK study said that almost a third of recovered COVID-19 patients ended up back in the hospital within 5 months. And then with that number of 1 in 8 dying of complications from the illness.
I'm going to tell you, Ron, it was well documented. You know, the trials and tribulations I went through earlier this year. Yes, I was infected by the coronavirus, the novel coronavirus, if you would. COVID-19, if you want to go that far. Yes, it did attack my body at its core, my lungs, my brain. No, that was too far?
No. I think it was a complete attack on your body.
It was an attack on my body. I lost 20 pounds in 3 weeks. But you want to know something, Ron? I didn't die. I did not die. After I had fully healed and I tested positive for the antibodies, you know what happened within those 5 months?
You have been solid, 100%.
Clean as a whistle. Clean bill of health. Apple a day keeps the doctor away. The people that are dying, you know, I prefer my COVID patients to not die. You know, to use a line that Donald Trump used about John McCain, I prefer my COVID patients to not die.
Well, you know which COVID patient did die? That would be Senator Jerry Ralph from St. Cloud, Minnesota, passing away at the age of 76 back on December 18th after having been admitted to a hospital in mid-November. The reason why that is noteworthy is the Minnesota GOP on Election Day decided, because they had held on to a slim majority in the state Senate, decided to hold a big celebratory dinner at a catering hall on November 5th, about 100 plus people there. Of course, few masks, and as often happened, becomes a super spreader event. At least 4 senators in attendance tested positive for COVID-19, one of them being the Republican majority leader, the state's most outspoken opponent of mask mandates and shutdown orders. He compared his symptoms to a moderate flu, which then killed his counterpart.
I had just ordered all of, you know, my merchandise from that guy's website. I was happy to see that he had won his election. So I ordered a T-shirt, a sweatshirt, and a bobblehead. And okay. It's a shame that, I will not be able to get any use out of that stuff. You know what I'm going to do? I am going to donate that to a third world country. And I will let a young kid wear a Senator. What was the guy's name again?
I already closed the story. I don't know.
Doesn't matter. Fuck him. You know what? Fuck him. I'm glad he's dead. And I'm A-okay with the fact that he is not going to see the light of day ever again.
All right. One more COVID story this week. This is of an anti-mask activist in Florida who was arrested for refusing to put on a face covering at a bagel shop. There was also a pretty wild video of her that went viral. Let's see if we can pull up her mugshot here.
Ooh!
And so that is Cindy Falco DiCorrado, 62, of Boynton Beach. She was arrested on Thursday at an Einstein Brothers Bagels in Boca Raton, where she allegedly ignored requests from a customer and a deputy to put on a mask.
Let's go to Boca!
Repeatedly saying that the sheriff was violating the Constitution, which I'm not quite sure which part of the Constitution. This is the thing that you may have noticed over the last year. Is anyone talking about violations of the Constitution? I don't think really understand what's in the Constitution.
No, but it looks like she has been crying. And I'm okay with that.
And it looks like she may have been around when the Constitution was written. I'm not quite sure.
Does it look like she's had some work done? Those lips look like they've been seen some filler.
Maybe a little bit. But yeah, you can find the video online. Maybe we'll share it on the Facebook page.
It's glorious. It's absolutely glorious. She claimed she had a medical exemption from wearing a mask. What I don't understand medical is
and a religious exemption.
Oy vey. In Florida, I did not I wasn't aware that they had mask requirements.
There are, certain areas that do have mask requirements for certain businesses. This was actually her second arrest for her second mask related arrest. She was arrested for trespassing and resisting arrest without violence at an anti-mask protest back in May. She was also featured in June on HBO's Last
Playboy
Week.
Playboy Magazine. I'm sorry. I thought you were going to say Playboy Magazine. She was featured. Yeah.
But she's been spouting this nonsense. In late 2017, she had been forced to resign from the Boynton Beach Advisory Board for allegations of being a white supremacist and making racist remarks, including telling one city resident to use, quote, better English. The newspaper said that she told black residents, "You're lucky we brought you over as slaves, or else you'd be deported too."
Oh, no.
Just an overall great person.
Garbage.
I'm just going to take her picture off of there.
Take it down. Yes. So getting back to your beef of the week, Ron, I'm just going to say you are not alone. This is not like that episode where your beef of the week was the fact that you didn't get all your spices or that FedEx did not put your package in the vestibule, but it left it outside your outer. I mean, those are times where clearly it had been targeted acts of hate against you. I believe your beef of the week is a struggle that is very common to Americans right now as we all try to justify whether we want Bill Gates's microchip implanted into our arms.
And this is what is fascinating about you, Brian, is that you will not pick up on the fact that I said earlier that there were three racism stories this week, but you clearly have ingrained many beefs of the week into your mind. So it's just interesting to see what connects and what doesn't when we talk.
Do you want to know exactly why?
Please, I would love to.
You do racism of the week. This week in racism, you tend to talk for long periods of time and I tend to check out. I come in at when I hear the actual act of racism, and it usually shocks me. But there's sometimes a lot of buildup, the description of the act. You'll have, the outcome of the story. So I'm coming in and out. The beef of the week, I am fascinated by.
Okay.
Personally, it's one of my favorite parts of the podcast because it's the one moment where you sit there and say, this is the thing that pissed me off the most this week. And you can kind of tell how your week went based on the beef that you have. So that when their biggest complaint that week is the fact that you did not get all the spices that you ordered, I internalize that. I hear a voice in my head, which is not the only voice I hear. I hear many. But I hear a voice in my head that says, well, it sounds like he had a pretty decent week, if that's the worst thing. And there are other times, like, I'm trying to apply for unemployment, and the PA system is so terrible, you can't do it online. There's a phone that you have to call. I've tried 48 times. So then I sit there, I'm like, that's really frustrating. I can only imagine how aggravating that is.
Now I'm just worried that you are underspicing your food.
Of course I'm underspicing my food. I'm white.
Are you putting raisins or grapes in your potato salad?
A little paprika. A little paprika.
A little salt. All right. Well, you know what's one of my favorite parts of the podcast, Brian? That's where we get to help people make some money with our NFL Locks of the Week. Mm. Can I congratulate you on your games last week? You were looking at Buffalo at home, favored by 2.5. You're like, you know what? Don't think Lamar Jackson is bringing his A game. Definitely did not. Knocked out of the game in the fourth quarter. Buffalo won 17-3. And Kansas City, favored by 10 against the Browns. You're like, you know what? This isn't my dad's Browns anymore. They're going to put up a fight. They're not going to win, but they're not going to lose by 10. And they only lost by 5. Kansas City wins 22-17.
And at the same time, Ron, I'm going to say to you, congratulations. People that listened last week, you know, we were trying to figure out which conference we were going to bet. Ron, you said that the AFC is really your jam. That's your back pocket. But the NFC is where you've struggled over the years.
Yeah.
So that's when we said, you know what, let's challenge ourselves. I'm going to take the AFC. You take the NFC. So you were in waters that were quite difficult. You saw the Packers laying 6.5 against the Rams, and you said Aaron Rodgers is not done this season. Take the Packers. They wound up winning by 14. Then the Saints at home against Tom Brady's Tampa Bay Bucks getting 3. You said, listen, Brady will win this game in his sleep. May not start off smoothly, but he's going to have a strong second half. Lo and behold, that's exactly what happened. Game tied 20-20 going into the fourth and final quarter. Tom Brady takes the Tampa Bay Bucks to a 30-20 lead. Ron, once again, you went 2-0. Congratulations.
Thank you, sir. Thank you. And so now we are down to the conference championships, 2 games. We're picking 1 each. Brian, you wanted to take the NFC championship game. Who do you like?
I think this game, this is the early game. So people who are heavy drinkers, give yourself a little bit time before you start hitting the sauce. And at 3:00, you are going to watch Aaron Rodgers take down Tom Brady, laying 3 points. I say Green Bay all the way.
And then in the late game, we have Kansas City at home, favored by 3 against the Buffalo Bills. I'm saying take Kansas City. -3. I think this might be our toughest week of wagering. You know, rule of thumb always says that, you know, if it's a 3-point favorite at home, basically it's an even matchup. They're only given the 3 points because of the home field advantage. So this is, both these games are pretty much toss-ups, but we've been perfect all year. We hope you've made some money on us. So go all the way with the conference championship games. Godspeed.
Ron?
Yes.
What are you watching?
What did I watch this week? Well, I watched the docuseries on Netflix about the Night Stalker.
Oh, that's my wife. That I watched that this week. What were your thoughts?
I liked it. I think it was a little slow at times. I think the first 2 episodes were tough to get through, but the last 2 really had a lot going.
I like the beginning. I like the aspect. I like the let's kind of show what living in LA, in the early 1980s was like. I liked the stories of the initial crime spree as it started to grow out. I like the fact that they started to really kind of personalize who the detectives on the case were. You really kind of get a sense of who they are. I felt they kind of sped through how he was identified. It kind of felt like it was a little almost coincidental that some of the things he was stealing were being identified. But what it lacked, which in my sense was most disappointing, was it really did not give you a sense of who Ricky Ramirez was. How did he, like, it felt like they spent 5 minutes
more about him.
They spent 5 minutes talking about how he was a kid. these was the home he grew up in. There was some abuse. And now he's killing people. Right. I thought that what they should, and this is one of those instances where I would have wanted to watch an entire hour of who is this guy?
Okay. I also watched on Disney Plus the first two episodes of WandaVision.
What is WandaVision? Because I've heard a lot about it and I've not watched it.
So it is, it's two characters from the Marvel Universe, the Scarlet Witch and Vision. And I couldn't even tell you. So the first two episodes are basically in the premise of like an early 50s, 60s sitcom. Okay. It's very unusual. I know there's a lot of story left to be told. That's why I couldn't even tell you what the show is about, because I don't think anyone's really sure what the show is about just yet.
Now, at what point does Thanos show up?
I mean, I believe, and again, people out there may correct me, I believe as far as in the Marvel timeline, this is post Avengers Endgame. So Thanos is already dead.
God damn it, Ron.
I will agree with Janelle on this. Brian will hate it. Without a doubt. I can already tell you, just don't even bother.
Also, while we're speaking of things that we watched, I would like to congratulate Hank Azaria for being nominated for some award for Bumblemeyer.
He's in a show?
Oh, God, I forgot the name of the show. God damn it. It's not Bumblemeyer. It's definitely something Meyer. Brockmeyer. Okay. But Hank Azaria... nominated for amazing acting for Brockmeyer. Let's hope he wins it. He's done a stellar job in the season and a quarter that I have watched. So much more of Brockmeyer left to go. I'm really looking forward to it.
Also, again, I've mentioned this before. If you are not watching Your Honor on Showtime,
I am not.
Watch it. Last episode, really, really good. And also on Apple TV, season 2 of Servant started. Not bad. I mean, now I'm just sticking with it because I want to see how the story unravels. It's one of those, you know, supernatural, very confusing stories, and I'm just deep into it, and I just need to know what the hell happens.
Ron, I feel like you're watching a lot of TV. Are you okay? You doing all right, bud?
I mean, it keeps me from the drinking.
Fair enough. So, I always figured you did drinking while watching TV.
Sometimes. Okay. On occasion, yes.
All right. Ron, can I ask you a question?
You certainly can, my friend.
All right. My question to you, Ron, is how are you feeling?
You know, I'm okay. I'm hanging in there. I'm a little, I feel a little bit better this week than I have in previous weeks.
Why would that be?
I feel hopefully we're in a good direction as a country again.
Now, what has happened since the last time we chatted on the show? So that would cause this newfound optimism.
It was a crazy week, Brian. We had the end of the Trump administration and the inauguration of President-elect Joseph Biden Jr. and Vice President-elect Kamala Harris. Unless you're in QAnon, then you believe the whole thing was just CGI. And Trump is actually running the presidency from Mar-a-Lago, or Biden and Harris have actually already been arrested, but the public could not handle it. So they're being allowed to serve out their term in the White House while Donald Trump runs. There's a lot of QAnon stuff going on out there. But at the end of the day, I think most of us believe that Joe Biden has taken the presidency of the United States. America.
Yes. A week ago, we were down to the wire. Donald Trump was being demonetized across all forms of social media. He was being cut off from forms of communication on social media: Twitter, Facebook, YouTube. Parler was off the internet. What am I missing here? I feel like there was something else that he had been.
Interests had banned him. TikTok took down all of his videos. I mean, it was crazy.
And we basically a week ago were sitting there being like, this is going to be a crazy week. We will survive it. We're going to get through it. Regardless of what happens, the sun will come up and come down. And after it has done it seven times, we will be under a new presidency. Obviously, except for the Q folks. But Ron, how would you describe the last week? I have my own thoughts.
It was very interesting because Donald Trump was very quiet. I mean, you know, lack of social media notwithstanding, you know, you really didn't even see much. I mean, you know, people, when he got banned from Twitter, everybody was like, well, how is he going to talk to the American people? Forgetting that if he goes to the White House and does a press conference, literally every news station and TV station in the world will show it. But he just decided not to do that. And then we all held our breaths awaiting the final list of pardons to come, holding out hope for, among many, Joe Exotic, Rudy Giuliani, and, of course, our hope that all of the Trump children would receive a pardon prior to Trump departing. But he shocked us. I don't know, you know, again, he granted clemency to 143 people on his last night as president. But in looking through, I mean, I don't know that I would say that there was really any pardons that he gave that were any more outrageous than any other outgoing president.
I would say, but my question to you is somebody who follows this way closer than I do. 143 pardons were handed out. Numerically, no, that's not the term. I wanted to say in terms of quantity, how does that compare to previous presidents? Because everyone kept throwing out the number 143, but there was no reference point. No, I didn't read anywhere, well, when Obama left, he gave out seven.
It was, if memory serves me correct, as far as a last day or last week a group of pardons, it was higher than previous presidents. But if you look at the number of pardons overall that he gave over the 4 years, he was either average or less than other presidents. So I think you can argue that his most egregious pardons happened prior,
The Manafort, Michael Flynn, Roger Manafort, Stone,
Roger
Michael Stone. Moore,
you know, when
Uma Thurman,
when he pardoned the Blackwater guards that were convicted of manslaughter for killing Iraqi citizens in cold blood, you know, those kind of things pale in comparison. I mean, you know, Lil Wayne and Kodak Black, fine, you know, but what is very interesting to me is, you know, he pardoned a number of people that had financial crimes. And so now you are seeing a significant backlash of Trump supporters that were defrauded by a lot of these people that he pardoned, now being like, what the hell, I supported you. And now you are pardoning the people that took my life savings away from me.
Yep.
What is also
it's almost as like Donald Trump was never really there for the supporters.
Almost.
God damn it! I need a new chair.
What's also funny is while Steve Bannon also received a pardon because he was taking in donations and allegedly embezzled millions of dollars.
Was Steve Bannon the guy that interfered with Manny Machado catching the fly ball at Wrigley Field?
He was. He was also in the stands that day.
Got it.
Okay. But what's funny is it only absolves him of the federal charges. The fun part of it is the fact that he did a lot of these contributions were done online means that he can be charged in any individual state where someone donated money to him that he then allegedly embezzled. So I know Florida and New York are already looking into the possibility of going after Steve Bannon. And because he has already received a pardon, technically he cannot utilize the Fifth Amendment as a defense. He has to testify because he has been pardoned on a federal level.
And I think that is probably somebody with a legal mind, obviously, was whispering in Trump's ear. But I believe that's the reason why the family did not get, why they did not receive pardons. And I think ultimately that's why Trump did not try to pardon himself.
Right. I mean, again, he could pardon himself. He can pardon his family. But the fact of the matter is, you know, it's the Southern District of New York. It's the New York State Attorney General that has upwards of, I'm hearing, 67 indictments prepared for Trump, his family, and their associates. So a federal pardon does nothing to protect him from that. And if anything, almost makes it seem like an admittance of guilt, because yep. you're saying, I need this pardon because I have broken laws.
Yep. Oh, I think my genuine fear is that the Democrats are going to say, we don't want to come across vindictive. Let's not go after them. That's my fear.
There is no doubt in my mind that the Attorney General of New York State is going to go after him full force.
That's because we're New Yorkers. Don't fuck with us. You fuck with us, we're going to fuck you up right back.
And you know, obviously, you know, the House is delivering articles of impeachment to the Senate. The Senate will be holding an impeachment trial. Although what is interesting to hear now is that the Democrats are negotiating a potential postponement of the impeachment trial in exchange for being able to get President Biden's cabinet picks moved quickly through the Senate.
Okay. I'm all right with that.
So we'll see.
Listen, they don't, you know, they still need Republican support on certain things.
On certain things, yes.
Yeah, I'm okay with that. Ron?
Yes, sir.
What'd you have for dinner today?
It was a very simple dinner. I just had some chicken thighs and green beans.
How'd you cook them? Let me guess. You put them in the air fryer.
I did them in the sous vide with some butter, some garlic, some salt, some pepper, and then I just I tossed them in a hot pan to give them a nice sear.
What kind of oil?
Butter this time. I went butter. I know, crazy, right? Crazy.
Where does the smoking point of butter reside in comparison to, say, grapeseed oil and canola oil?
You know, I don't have that information, but I'll look into it and I will get back to you.
Okay. Ron, what did you think of the inauguration?
Before we get off of the Trump topic. We do have this video that we wanted to play of a typical Trump supporter trying to deal with the fact that Donald Trump is no longer president of the U.S. So here we have a MAGA woman having a breakdown over Joe Biden being inaugurated.
This is from Wednesday.
If you see this, please save us. I don't even see our American flag anymore. Biden's talking with some kind of crazy flag. This is America. This is our land. Please, President Trump. Please, please. I hope you have a plan. God, please save us. Save us from the devil, please. Y'all, I'm about to have a panic attack. This is our country. Our country. This is awful. God, please save us. Please.
Well, there you have it. There.
Can we find out who this woman is? Is there any way that we can identify this woman? Because I feel like she needs to go on Dr. Phil wearing a terrible navy blue pantsuit with a white frilly blouse underneath it, some very bad Kmart makeup on, while she discusses why it was okay making a video while she was in the middle of having a manic panic attack.
That was the result of the inauguration. Many people upset, many people happy. Did you watch any of the inauguration?
I saw Kamala take the...
Kamala?
I know, I said that just to see if I was going to get you on it. Yeah, no. I saw Kamala take the... I saw her take her oath.
Right.
I saw Joe take his oath.
Okay.
I heard... I watched him give his speech, and then I went back to work.
Okay. You did not see Lady Gaga in her outfit? Do the national...
I did not... I did not see the Obamas. I did not, excuse me. I did not see the Clintons. I did not see Barack. I did not see Michelle. I did see Nancy. I woke up on Thursday to a deluge of Bernie photos.
Bernie became... Well,
he stole it. He walked that runway. He shut that bitch down.
Real quick, this was the outfit that that Lady Gaga wore. Big flowing red dress with... That is a dove with a something in its beak. Not...
It looks like it wants to fly off.
People kept referring to this as a Hunger Games outfit. But yes, Bernie definitely... meme of 2021 already?
Yes.
Very possibly. Very possibly.
Yes.
I have seen easily 50 memes created from him in his jacket and mittens sitting at the inauguration.
The best one that I saw, and clearly he was by himself in the main photo, just sitting there as if he was literally doing anything but being at a presidential inauguration. But the one that really like hit me the most was, you know, it was just the photo of him, you know, with the manila folder stuck underneath his armpit. And it was just said, like, Bernie came dressed today like he was just going to, like, you know, swing by, check this thing out, but he had other things to do afterwards.
Yeah. This was part of his day. It wasn't his full day.
There were people dressed like this was the high point of, like, their decade.
Right.
And Bernie literally was wearing, like, these, like, ugly mittens. Like, it was, I don't even know what was going on with them. But he literally looked like he was about to go into Walgreens and pick up some, like, Sudafed.
And then I sent you, I think, the photo of someone that had taken Sharon Stone from Basic Instinct and put Bernie's head and mittens on her.
When I first saw that photo, I got a little warm.
You got a little excited?
A little bit.
Well, Brian, is it time? We've talked inauguration and we've talked Trump. I mean, we kind of got that out of the way. Is it time to talk stocks? Is it time for a little really angry money?
2021. This is the year. Ron and Brian, we have already shown that we have taken over the world of sports gambling. It's ours.
Yes.
But we're not done. We're not done.
No. And you know why? Because there are people that reach out to me. I don't know if they reach out to you as well. And they say, Ron, we love how consistent you and Brian are with the NFL picks of the week. I'm not comfortable with gambling. I don't bet. I don't go to casinos, things like that. Is there a legal way, a biblical way for me to make money if not by your NFL locks of the week? And I say, it's all about the stocks, baby. So are we ready? Are we ready to intro this, Brian?
I'm ready.
Stonks.
All right.
Yes.
So we have done.
No. You're not going to. You need to play that again.
All right. One more time.
Stonks.
Yes.
All right.
Ron, you have the floor.
So we have done this in the past where we've done some stock picks and we have come back to it and we've checked things. We are taking this one step further now. Brian and I have actually opened a Ron and Brian stock portfolio. Each of us have ponied up some of our own cash.
Yes.
Are we comfortable saying how much we ponied up?
Absolutely. We're not doing anything illegal here.
each of us have put up $1,000. So we've got $2,000 to invest in the stock market. And
technically, technically, I took my $600 stimulus check, as did you. So of the $2,000 that is in the Ron and Brian portfolio, we thank Mitch McConnell, because $1,200 of that is stimulus money.
So
we're playing with the house money.
What we're going to attempt to do, or more specifically, what I am going to attempt to do, because Brian is putting trust in me to wager his money in the stock market, is to pick some stocks and hopefully make some money. And our point being is, if you've got a few hundred dollars burning a hole in your pocket, with the way the stock market is these days, you can easily make some money on this. In fact,
absolutely.
I'm on a message board on Discord for some stock traders. There was a gentleman on there that had taken $350, turned it into $4,000, and then turned it into $30,000. It's just churning and burning. So we're going to see how much we can take it. I will say, spoiler alert, in the first 3 days, we already are up 6%. So hopefully that can continue. So these are the stocks that Ron and Brian are wagering on in the coming weeks. First off, we've got AMC Entertainment. We all love going to the movies. And soon enough, we will hopefully be able to go back. AMC is reopening theaters. They recently announced that they were doing a $100 million bond offering to raise capital. We got in at $2.79. Closed today at $2.98. Our target for this one is to take it up to $5 and sell it. This has been a roller coaster all week. This is Atossa Therapeutics. What they do is they are a clinical stage biopharmaceutical company focusing on breast cancer treatment and other breast conditions. They have an investor call later this month about some clinical testing they are doing. Everybody feels very good about the work they're doing. We bought them at 134. They closed today at 167. They were actually up to $2.06 at one point. Again, target for this one is selling it at $5 and taking the money and running.
And what are you leaving out here, Ron? Is that Tuesday morning of this week, you put me onto this stock when it was $1.05.
True.
So I bought 150 shares at $1.05. It is already $1.67. So this has turned out to be a nice little pot of gold.
And in my personal portfolio, I got in at 88 cents.
Nice.
Yeah. Thank you.
Nice. That's awesome.
Since President Biden, the country is basically in control of the Chinese government, I think it only made sense to make some China investments. So we went with China Jojo Drugstore. This is a leading online and offline retailer and wholesaler distributor of pharmaceutical and other healthcare products in China. We got in today at $1.15. It closed at $1.19. I think we can get this to $3, make a little bit of money there.
How on earth are we at China Jojo Drugstore?
China Jojo Drugstore.
Jojo. My goodness.
Just for the name alone, I was like, China Jojo Drugstore.
That's awesome.
All right. Now, this is the one I'm very excited for. This is Clover Health Investments. We're a little down right now. We got in at $13.70. It's down to $13.59. This is a healthcare technology company dealing a lot in Medicare. They use proprietary technology platform to analyze health and behavioral data. They have a investor call on the 27th, which everybody's assuming they're going to announce some partnerships that will expand their reach across the country. We are looking at a $30 sell point at this, which would make us a very nice profit at the end. Again, going back over to China, this is Meten EdTech's Education Group. We bought them at $1.98. They closed up 10 cents at $2.08. They provide English language training online services in the People's Republic of China for kids, teenagers, and adults. The Chinese still love learning that English. They're expanding their platform. Again, we're targeting $5 for the sell here.
Now, you mentioned earlier that you were looking at two different Chinese-American education groups. Is this one that was targeting the Uyghurs, or was this one that was going for the general population, meaning the non-imprisoned?
We were not going for the internment camp.
Smart. I didn't think I didn't think that the Uyghurs, there was a lot of money to be made there.
Next up is Sea Change International. This is a long
There's been a sea change. There's a sea change of money going out of my pocket on this one, Ronnie.
This one is $1.62. It's down to $1.29. They are a global public supplier of video delivery software. They have just announced an expansion due to the pandemic of their video delivery. It's video on demand. It's time shift television. This one's going to get big. I think this one we can ride all the way up to $10.
Now, how are they positioned in terms of like the adult entertainment industry? Because we know that's where the money is.
I don't believe that they play in that venue.
Well, that's how they're going to get up to $10 a share.
I'll reach out to them as an investor. You know, we can certainly give them our opinion. And then our final stock in the Ron and Brian portfolio, this is Solagenix. We bought it at $1.57. It's only up a little bit at $1.60. This is a late stage biopharmaceutical company committed to developing and commercializing products to treat rare diseases where there is an unmet medical need. They have an investor call on Tuesday regarding a new product that is in treating cutaneous T-cell lymphoma. So everyone is expecting positive results from that investor call. We are targeting a $10 sell point for this stock as well. So I think, we're up 6%. I told Brian if we're not up 50% by the end of the month, that he should just fire me and take the remaining 50% of the podcast.
And what did I say I would do?
You said you couldn't do that. You said you would just shame me in public, which, again, is also acceptable.
Absolutely. Why not? Ryan? I would never fire you.
That's our current stock fix.
Stonks.
I think next to Beef of the Week, that might be my favorite.
Oh, it's so good. It's everything about it is bad and good at the same time.
And we will throw this out there. If you are a Patreon subscriber and you are interested in getting involved in the stock market, you have the ability to message Ron and Brian, and we will provide you with personalized stock advice for being a Patreon subscriber.
Really?
At the bronze level or higher.
That's very generous of you.
Maybe we'll talk some stonks during the pajama party, which is the last Thursday of the month. The next Thursday is our Ron and Brian After Dark pajama party. As we mentioned at the top of the hour, if you are a Ron and Brian Patreon subscriber at the $10 level or higher, you get access to our exclusive After Dark live show, 9:30 every Thursday night, the last Thursday of every month. We do our pajama jammy jam, where we let all of you join the act.
Not all of you.
Well, no, the $10 level or higher.
Yes. We do require, we're not just letting anybody onto the pajama party.
It is
people that are coming in at the bronze level or higher. You join the show. Ron and I put together a list of topics throughout the for us to discuss. We never get to any of them during the pajama party. It literally is, it's like a Royal Rumble, but with family and friends.
And based by the positive reaction that I am seeing in the comment section, I think it is a given that we will need to talk stocks in the After Dark pajama party.
Stonks.
Just, I don't know what it is about that piano. It
would be a real shame if you were to hit that button again. That would make this thing start again.
Yeah, I accidentally slipped my finger.
Stonks. stonks.
Fucking love it. I fucking love it.
We will revisit the Ron and Brian portfolio. There's a question about buying Fleshlight stonks. So I need to look into that and see if they're a publicly traded company.
But how does this one sound? How about next Thursday during the After Dark pajama party? Why don't I do my product review? We've been talking
for
the past 138 episodes. We're like, you know what, Brian? You said this to me. You're like, you know what, Brian? I think that it would be great if we could start a segment of the podcast where you talk about a product you've tried for the first time this past week. Or just a product that you would recommend to our loyal listeners. I'm thinking that After Dark next week is when I do my very first, we will roll out the inaugural episode of Brian Rates Products, and we'll do Fleshlight version.
And would you like to maybe tease a little bit and maybe describe the two Fleshlights that you purchased?
No, there's no teasing. If you want to, I mean, I will take them both out and we could go through a complete product design as well as the shame I feel cleaning it afterwards.
I can't imagine. And the shame of realizing that you forgot to buy the drying rack.
I didn't buy the drying rack. God damn it.
But you did buy the warming rack, correct?
And I will talk. I am happy to discuss my thoughts on the warming rack.
Okay. I was going to ask you a question about warming rack versus drying rack, but I will save that also for next week.
Would you like to tease the question and I will answer it next week?
Well, the question would be, out of the two, if you had to forget one, you know, are you happier that you got the warming rack and forgot the drying rack versus vice versa?
I have an answer to that. And I will be glad to share it with you.
Okay.
Next Thursday, when Ron and Brian go after dark in our pajama party.
And again, Billy, on top of things, Interactive Life Forms
is
the parent company of Fleshlight, and they may not be traded. Now, this is not to say we can't reach out to them as far as discussing a direct investment in the company.
Like a private placement memorandum.
Listen,
like you review.
There are a lot of companies out there that invest with private investors outside of the NASDAQ, outside of the Dow Jones, outside of the S&P 500. So it's possible. It's worth a phone call. It's worth picking up the phone and calling and saying, we want to be in the pocket of Big Fleshlight. Well, you don't want to be necessarily in the pocket. I'm not going to say where you want to be in the Big Fleshlight, but
I'd like to be in the Fleshlight.
You got some time. You got like another hour to wait. Put it on the warming rack now, so it is nice and toasty for your genitalia by the time we are done with After Dark. Brian,
it sounds so wrong when you say it that way.
Is there anything else that we were going to talk about this week? I'm just looking at our notes. I think we said it all. I think we did it all. It is a new day in America, and we shall see if things start to get better.
I think things will get better. It's a question of how, you know, it's like turning a cruise ship around. You're not going to be able to spin the wheel and suddenly the ship immediately goes 180 degrees in the other direction. It's going to take some time while the momentum of the ship starts to slow and it slowly starts to turn around. It's not going to be overnight. It's going to be a slow process. Eventually, we will get there, people. Show some patience. Show some understanding. Let's love each other. We're all in the same boat, regardless of you know, how we voted. We all want to get back to a better life. We all want it. We may disagree on how we're about, you know, how fast we can do it or how to go about doing it. Let's have some intelligent conversations. Let's discuss pros and cons. Let's speak with open ears
and
a closed mouth and a dry Fleshlight.
And speaking of a better life, we are very close to providing all of you with a better life with our own Ron and Brian app. am I too soon? Should I have waited to reveal this information?
I thought we agreed that we were going to do a couple more rounds of testing out the app on our phones prior to announcing it. But yes, people, the cat's out of the bag. We will have a Ron and Brian podcast app for your phones. There's going to be a lot of exclusive content. You'll be able to just watch, listen right there. It's going to be some fun stuff.
So we will let you know when it is rolling out. It will be in the Apple Store. It'll be in the Google Play Store. It will give you the availability to listen to the podcast, to watch the YouTube videos, to purchase merchandise direct through the app. Normally you have to do that through our web store or through our Facebook page. You'll be able to purchase merch direct through this app. And if you want, reach out and email us through the app. We may even activate a live chat feature through the app at some point. We'll see how it goes. See how much money we make, to be perfectly honest.
That sounds awesome. And I will say this, you know, we kind of are very dependent on your, on the Ron and Brian portfolio, because a lot of the proceeds are going towards the development of this app.
I mean, I think it is, it's a perfect example, and you have said this many, many times, that we do not take the money from things like the Patreon and the merch. We don't take that money and put it in our pockets. We take it and we put it back into the podcast. And yes, rolling out of this app, I think, is just one more example of us building the infrastructure of the Ron and Brian empire. So we will let you guys know as soon as it is available.
Yes. I'm excited about it.
Dom has a very good question. Can I invest in Ron and Brian? Brian will take proceeds directly, and he will handle the returns.
All receipts will be on paper, printed in Chinese. From the JoJo pharmacy that we've invested in.
From the China JoJo drugstore.
What is wrong with you? Where do you find these fucking things?
Brian, do you have anything additional this week for us?
Not at all. This has been a great episode. I have less fear than I did a week ago, a month ago, a year ago. It does not mean things are going to be perfect. It's not going to be puppies and rainbows. I just feel like I feel the ship starting to turn. And hopefully, good things come out of it.
All right. Sounds good. So for those Patreon folks, we will see you on the After Dark in just a few minutes. For everybody else, we will catch you next week. As always, if you like the podcast, go to Apple Podcasts, go to wherever you get your podcasts, rate, review, share us with your friends. Brian's showing off the Ron and Brian coffee mug. You can get that by subscribing on Patreon, or you can go on our Facebook page. We've got our shop set up there. You got a bunch of stuff you can get through Teespring, coffee mug, iPhone cases, neck gaiters, zip-up hoodies, onesie for your newborn if you want them, a great Beef of the Week t-shirt. I mean, yes, some great merch on the Facebook page. If you want to get to the Facebook page, if you want to get to anywhere,
Ron, while we're doing this, is there any way you could show, do you have the ability to show people what you're talking about right now?
Not at this moment, but I will prepare for next week.
Let's do that next week. Let's do that. You know what? Next week, we're going to have a full line of items. We will show photos. We'll show samples. And it'll be exciting.
But if you want a sneak peek, go to ronandbrianpodcast.com. It's got the links to our Facebook page. You can go to our shop, see all the stuff that is available. Oh, the tote bags on the shop as well. So just a ton of Ron and Brian merch. High quality American made merchandise that you can have in your dirty little mitts within a week or so. Ryan, as always, thank you, my friend, and I will see you after dark.
I thank you. I thank everybody watching this right now. I thank everybody listening right now, wherever you are. If you're live, if you're listening to it on your commute tomorrow, you're going to listen to it over the weekend, whenever you are allowing us into your minds, your souls, your essence, your bodies. Thank you.